on today's featured. I kind of, you know, thought of doing this earlier to go with the opening of the Tron Light Cycle Run in Magic Kingdom. But, you know, we had other characters to talk about first, so we're doing it now. Today's featured is Kevin Flynn. If you don't know the name, he was from the movie Tron. So his background is that he was born in Paramus, New Jersey in 1949. He is a computer programmer, a gifted computer programmer who in 1982 created the best-selling video games for a company called, a fictional company called Encom. Some of those games include Space Paranoids, Matrix Blaster, Vice Squad, and Light Cycles. And with all these games, he eventually founded Flynn's Arcade. Most notably, he is a creator of Tron, which is also the name of the movie he's featured in, and that really paved the way for Encom to be the world's largest video game company. Flynn was eventually fired from Encom once another programmer, Ed Dillinger, was promoted to senior executive vice president, who stole all of Flynn's codes to its games. So after Flynn was fired, Flynn made several attempts to hack into Encom to with using his best hacking program called Clue to obtain evidence of Dillinger's fraudulence. And then after the death of his wife, he focused his efforts in creating a digital frontier to reshape the human condition. In 1989, Flynn mysteriously disappeared, which, if you ever watched the Tron movie, knows what happened next. And it wasn't until 2010 where his son Sam got a tip that led him to his father, which is the premise of the most recent Tron film.
Tron Legacy.
I'm excited. I'm hoping the ride opening like gives new life into Tron, because I really like the Tron movies.
Yeah, and I'm sure this will excite you, Sean, if you don't know this yet, but there are a set of comics of Tron that you can follow, because there's a lot of backstory and gives some background between the first and the reboot movie, or I guess second movie.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Remain seated, please. Permanecer sentados, por favor.
The marvelous galaxy.
Disney, yeah. Welcome to the... Oh, I was going to do something different. Oh. Bienvenidos to this episode of Marvelous Galaxy of Disney. My name is Sean.
And my name's Alan.
And we've got news for you. We're so excited. We do have a little bit of bad news due to me being selfish and enjoying my birthday weekend.
How dare he?
How dare I? There will not be an episode next week. We will be in Vegas living it up for my birthday. I'm turning 25 plus 14. so yeah, just a heads up, no episode next week, but we will be back before April ends. I'm really excited, actually, because the last day of our last weekend of this month, my good friend Vicky, who has been on this pod with us and also started Once Upon a Cult with me, is throwing me an Adventureland-themed birthday.
Fun.
Yes, I am an adult, and I'm still having themed birthdays. But we're excited to talk about it on the show. There's going to be Adventureland-themed foods. There's going to be people dressing up in various... You know, we said you don't have to dress up, but people are excited, and it seems like they will be.
Yeah.
Alan and I have a good idea for a cute costume pair, but we're not going to talk about it yet. We're going to show you when it happens.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a good time.
Yeah. Hopefully there'll be a Jungle Cruise around the pool.
Hopefully there is a pool. We talked about making a cruise happen with the skipper.
Yeah. So it'll be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and start off our episode with a little Margal Dizbiz. I had a moment where I was like, wait, it's not called that. It's not called that. I have too many podcasts. So last week we asked you, which planet do you like to go on Star Tours? So the options were, I kept it simple. I kept it the OG planets from the ride just because I can only fit four. And I figured that way, at least, they're the ones people are more familiar with because they've been there longer. So our options are Tatooine, which is the pod racing little cinematic. The next one is Hoth, which is the ice planet, and you're thrown into the middle of the ice battle. Kashyyyk, which is the home of the Wookiees, or Naboo, which is the water planet, which is the home to the Gungans. My favorite part is when you almost hit Jar Jar, or what appears to be Jar Jar. So, do you have any thoughts on which one you think won?
I would say probably it's a bit biased because it would be my favorite, Kashyyyk.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's find out. So coming in last place, actually, this is technically a tie, but because, it rounds it to make it an even number, it gave one of these 1% more than the other.
Oh.
Naboo and Tatooine came in last place. They each only got a vote, and they came in at 12 and 13%.
Wow.
Yeah. So people do not like Naboo and Tatooine, which actually matches with me because I do not – I mean, I don't hate any cinematic, but, I mean, Naboo being where the Gungans are from, and it's the one I think I've gotten the most. So it's just like I already kind of didn't like it, and then I've gotten it so much I really don't like it.
And that's the one where you get eaten by that one monster and shaking around, right? And I don't like that shaking around part.
And then Tatooine isn't my favorite just because, like, I don't know, pod racing didn't do a lot for me.
I'm over pod racing.
Hoth got 25% of the votes, which leaves Kashyyyk with 50% of the votes.
Yay!
Which, that one, I think I like even more because I wasn't getting it for so long. I was like, I just want to see the Wookiees. And with the Wookiees being cousins to my favorite, the Ewoks, obviously, I like them. I like seeing their planet. It's fun. And I just think the whole battle with, like, the stormtroopers on the speeder bikes is just kind of fun also.
Yeah, and then you have one of the Wookiees get slammed against your windshield.
Well, that was a marvelous little question.
It was.
Hey, should we jump into Marvelous?
Sure.
Marvelous. All right.
Marvelous.
So I thought this was really cute. So just 2 days ago, April 15th was American Sign Language Day. And as a way to celebrate it, Disney Plus has added ASL interpretation to Ant-Man. And this is like the very first Ant-Man, not the newest one. Mm-hmm. So this went through a video service, which was created by Deluxe in partnership with Grupo Steno with Delbert Wetter of Respectability. And they've actually worked with Marvel before. They worked with Marvel on Eternals and Hawkeye since there were people with handicapable people, is that what you say?
Yeah,
because Echo, the actress who plays Echo, is actually deaf in real life. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people praised them for having a deaf character played by a deaf person. And then I forgot who was in Eternals, but I remember somebody, I think, was...
Oh, one of the... I forgot their name, but yeah.
Yeah.
Was it the Nymph?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. So this has been cool. So what it actually looks like is when you're watching the movie in the bottom right-hand corner, you could see a person... What's cool, and they've gotten praise for it, is they're not only doing the sign language, they're also making, like, facial expressions. So you kind of get the mood of the character who's speaking. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. I believe the performer's name is Jack Cook, who you see, but that's who's in the article. I'm just not sure if that's who they used on the actual ASL as well.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, just another way to include everybody. I love wokeness. I love making sure everybody has a voice. I love making sure everybody has access to what they want. So this is a huge step forward, I think.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you can't, you know, ignore the deaf audience out there as well, too. You know, they enjoy movies as much as we do. So it's awesome that Disney does this. And I love it, too, because if you ever watch any live action, or not live action, but like live stage shows at the park, sometimes they do bring on ASL interpreters, and yeah, it's the same kind of experience. They're very into the show, and they act out a lot of it, which is amazing. So yeah, if you're ever at the parks, look out for them, because sometimes they'll be at the show.
Yeah, I found myself like getting lost in watching the ASL performers sometimes because they're so animated. Yeah. It's so fun. So yeah, next up, I thought this was really cool. So in X-Men right now, we're in the Fall of X storyline, where we've kind of seen the X-Men since 2019 grow and become a major player and have like a controlling factor in the world, which is different for the X-Men because they've all moved to Krakoa on an island and they've made deals with governments. So, of course, when anything gets too good, it has to come down eventually. Mm-hmm. So one of the stories that is coming out of the Fall of X is Uncanny Spider-Man. This is very different.
How different is it?
Well, we're getting a new Spider-Man. Who's actually Nightcrawler.
Oh.
Dressed up as Spider-Man. So I do have to admit, because I subscribe to Marvel Unlimited, I'm always 3 months behind on reading the comics, so I've not gotten to Fall of X yet. But I did want to share this story because it is so different. Like, how often do we see an X-Men take up the mantle of another hero in the Marvel universe?
Yeah.
And especially, like, I love Nightcrawler. I've always been a big Nightcrawler fan. I've always been a big Spider-Man fan. So I think this is very compelling. It's different. It shakes up the universe. Nightcrawler gets kind of his own Spider-Man outfit, which is, I applaud it for being similar to the Miles Morales suit, but also kind of incorporating Nightcrawler's outfit. So I'm excited to read this.
His tail.
His tail. That's a giveaway. His tail and his ears and his feet and hands.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I did put a picture on the cover of this week's episode, if you want to look there, or on our Instagram, Marvelous Galaxy of Disney.
It is funny, though, because so Spider-Man uses his spiderwebs to go places, but then Nightcrawler just kind of thinks and goes there.
Yeah.
So I just wonder what his mode of transportation is now that he has a spider suit, if he's still going to sling webs or not.
I imagine he'll still teleport, and he can kind of, like, dexterously, like, climb up things. So he'll probably be similar to Spider-Man, just without webs.
Yeah.
But then you'd wonder, like, then why are you Spider-Man?
Yeah. It's like a downgrade of him.
Yeah. And I wonder, too, where the mutants are at this point. So maybe he has to hide his identity, so he just felt like this was a fun way to do it.
Maybe this is how they'll get the
X-Men. Oh, my God. So, we did have a new trailer that came out. The Marvels.
Yeah.
So, this is Captain Marvel 2, and it features our three girls, our three technically Captain Marvels, in a way. Because we have Miss Marvel, we have Photon, and we have Captain Marvel. And it jumps right off from where we left off in the Miss Marvel show, where for some reason, Miss Marvel and Captain Marvel's powers have been linked. And when they use their power, they seem to be switching places.
Yeah.
I think this trailer looks so fun. I love that they use the Beastie Boys song. I love that it's just, like, goofy. Nick Fury's in it. I think this movie's going to be a great time.
Yeah, and I like how all three characters are so different. You have, like, Captain Marvel, played by Brie Larson, who is kind of like a serious character in a way.
Yeah.
And then you have Kamala Khan, who plays Miss Marvel.
Well, Iman Vellani, who plays Kamala Khan, who is Miss Marvel.
Yeah,
I gotcha.
I feel like she's more like the comic relief and like the green of all of them. And then you have Photon. Sorry, I forgot the actress's name. But Photon, she's kind of like, I feel like she's the one that's going to like the glue of the trio.
So her name is Teyana Paris.
Yeah. I mean, I love it. I'm excited for it. Yeah. And I want to see how they all kind of like intermingle together. And then when they do kind of like switch places, how that's going to work too.
Yeah. It almost like looked like there's a part where they've gotten down how to switch places when they're battling, and it looked really cool the way they're purposely seeming to do it. I'm really excited. This is dumb, but I don't care. In the first Captain Marvel, we got the cat, Chewie in the comics. It was Goose, I think.
Goose, yeah.
The cat who's actually a Flurkin. It's not a cat, it's a Flerken. So there's a scene in this trailer where we just see a bunch of cats running downstairs, and I'm like, that is going to be hysterical if those are all Flerkens.
Oh, gosh,
that would be a great way to like level up from 1 to 2.
Yeah.
Because I just thought that the Flerken was so fun. I even have a friend, Jesse, bought me a Flerken pop. And, like, mm-hmm. I always keep that somewhere I can see it because I just love the Flerken. I love that she bought that for me. Thank you, Jesse. I'm always mean to Jesse. I should be nice to her sometimes.
Wow.
So I am excited about this. What I'm not excited about on the flip side, like, I almost don't want to talk about it, but we'll talk about it. This trailer is being review bombed. Mm-hmm. So it already has over 300,000 dislikes on YouTube. And it seems like the factor that people are calling out is the fact that it is a female-led Marvel movie.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
Yeah. I love one article I was reading. The guy was like, yeah, I remember being mad like this. I remember when my mom stopped dropping me off between kindergarten and daycare.
Wow.
Or something stupid like that. And then he was like, yeah, but these are grown men. These are adolescent to grown men, and they are review bombing a movie because women.
They're grown men with mom issues, basically.
Yeah. Like, I just think this movie shows so much promise. I love all three of these actresses. I love their characters in the MCU. I love that they're not only, like, strong and powerful women, because we've seen Captain Marvel almost single-handedly took on Thanos, which is pretty bad butt.
Yeah.
But, like, all three of them are powerful, and they're not relying on anybody else to come to their rescue, it looks like. They're holding each other up.
Yeah. And also, like, say even if you do feel that way, wait until you see the movie first before you even, like, come down to any conclusions, you know?
I know. Favorites, here's what I want us all to do. I want us to all go see this movie in theaters. I want us all to help this movie do really well. I want us all to post, like, really good reviews for it. Because I want this to stop. I want these haters to, like, eat their words and be like, dang, that was a really good movie. Like,
yeah.
I'm stupid for review bombing it. Because, I'll be one to admit it. I didn't love the first Captain Marvel. I thought it was good. It was enjoyable, but... I'm just hoping this one, like, stands closer to the likes of, like, Wakanda Forever, where it just does so ridiculously well that we get spin-off shows maybe featuring Photon. We get more Miss Marvel show, even though I didn't love the first season. Yeah, I want this to do really well.
Yeah.
Well, and one last thing on a more positive note that I read, people are a little afraid for Brie Larson.
Why?
Because they're thinking that Iman Vellani is such a charismatic character and actress that she's going to steal the spotlight in the movie.
Well, good. I mean, yeah, she should. She's young, so I think that does well for her, because if people love her now, then I think that'll help her in her own franchise of movies. And she, it's just, I love how, like, fresh-faced she is, too. When we were at D23... when we saw them, like, she was just so, like, excited just to be there, and it's just so, like, down to earth how she is, where you have, like, I'm not, like calling them out, but, like, Brie Larson was just like, yeah, you know, this is just typical Hollywood stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So, well, yeah.
I think what's different, too, is some of the actors who know Iman have compared her to Kamala, because Kamala's known for being a huge Avengers stan and, like, mm-hmm. writing fan fiction about the Avengers. And apparently Iman is a huge MCU fan. So, like, for her, this is a dream come true. So I think that's what's showing through, different from someone like Brie Larson, who I think this is more like, this is a job.
Yeah.
And I mean, she has shared that she loves Captain Marvel. She's done a lot of work to, like, hold up Captain Marvel. But I don't know that she was, like, a huge Marvel fan like Iman was when she took on the role. So it's much more, I think, personal for someone like Iman. Being new to Hollywood, being a newer actress, being someone who loves this, she wants to shine a little brighter. Kind of like when Tom Holland came on as Superman.
Yeah.
Or Spider-Man.
Wow. Well, yeah. And she also, like, grew up with the MCU, too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, before our time, before the MCU, we had comics, and now she's like, this is her life. Like, this is her comics, is the MCU.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, cool. Well, do you think any of them will be fired?
So we talked about this, I think, in last episode about Ike Perlmutter being fired, and Perlmutter kind of went into the media and talked about how he was fired, not because of the layoffs that were occurring in Disney, but it was more so because he was backing, you know, Nelson Peltz, who is currently in a war with Disney. But Bob Iger chimed back and said that decision was being made regardless. It wasn't because of what he said. It was more so because he said Perlmutter has been redundant in the Marvel universe.
That's not what somebody wants to hear.
Yeah. So Iger is kind of alluding that, you know, they're kind of like going through the same kind of putting out the same thing. So in a way, he's doing this because he wants to see more innovation. He wants to see more changes. I don't know if that's just more of a PR response, but that's what he says. So yeah, I just wanted to get both sides of the story.
Yeah, and I know he said this before, I do still praise Iger, because I know he's having to go through a rough transition with the company. At least he is trying to take out some of the higher paid people before going down to the lesser paid people. Mm-hmm. I do respect him for that, and I am not jealous of the shoes that he is in right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of people looking at every move he does.
Yeah, and especially I imagine with, you know, starting at the top, these are probably people he knows personally that he's having to let go. So that's not a position that anybody would want to be in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, should we jump on over to Disney?
Disney.
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 So we got an extended preview of the Muppets Mayhem that shows us more of what the show is. Mm-hmm. Ever since I was young, I have loved the Muppets. I love any Muppets content. I get really sad sometimes if a show doesn't hit. Like, I really loved the show The Muppets, about like the behind the scenes making of the Muppets show. I thought it was hysterical. It got canceled. This is the next incarnation, and I'm hoping it does well. It's called The Muppets Mayhem. It focuses on the band Mayhem with Dr. Teeth and his other Muppets. I think this is a genius idea. I think it's hysterical. The theme of this show looks like it is the Mayhem group has not made a single album in the 45 years that they've been together. So they get a manager who comes to try to help them make music. But of course, they're Mayhem. They're not the smartest Muppets. One of my favorite parts is when the animal looks at a letter H on the wall and says, W! If you've not seen this trailer, it looks hysterical. Yeah. There's a nod to Spinal Tap in it, where in Spinal Tap, they turn up the amp to 11. This one goes to 11. And the guy making the film is like, why wouldn't that be the same as 10? It's just at max. And he's like, no, this one goes to 11. And Mayhem, theirs goes to 11.5. I thought that was so funny. And it has so many cameos, Alan. So many. Alan and I tried to like watch through and write out the cameos as we saw them. And we gave up and looked up an article. So it looks like the first cameo we get, the guy who has been tattooed, is Tommy Lee. He fell asleep and was tattooed by Mayhem and thinks it's really cool. The most recognizable is Lil Nas X. I mean, he's been in the news a lot lately. Mm-hmm. We get Paula Abdul, who we just see really quick, but it's pretty exciting. Cheech and Chong. Kesha's in there. I didn't even notice this one. We get Morgan Freeman, but he's wearing like a blue wig, apparently, so he's not as noticeable. Let's see, we get Zedd, Steve Aoki, Deadmau5, Kevin Smith, Weird Al Yankovic. Oh, I don't know this one. Charlamagne the God. Have you heard of Charlamagne the God? No. Oh, I'm old, people listening.
We know.
Again, I'm turning 39 next week. Oh, you know what? This actually doesn't show everybody. We also got Danny Trejo. These are the ones we noticed that aren't in the article. Danny Trejo, Amber Riley, who was Mercedes in Glee. Rachel Bloom, who was in My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend as Rebecca Bunch. Sophia Carson, who you noticed from Descendants.
Mm-hmm.
And she was Evie, you said?
She was Evie.
Okay. And, oh, that's it. That's the ones we noticed plus the ones in the article.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you have not seen this trailer and you're a Muppets fan, you need to watch it. It looks like so much fun. I can't wait. And it comes out soon. I forgot exactly when.
Yeah. Comes out really soon.
Yeah. Cool. I'll look up when it comes out while you talk about our next live action outing for Disney.
Yeah. And this is a little disappointing as well. May 10th is when Muppets Mayhem comes out. Okay.
Cool. Thank you.
So... we talked about this previously where Lilo and Stitch, they're doing a live action movie and they're starting to announce casting for the characters. Last week or last time we talked about it, they casted Maya Kealoha, who will be playing Lilo, and then Zach Galifianakis, who's going to play an unknown character we don't know yet. And then they also just announced Billy Magnussen, who will be playing the character as well. I'm kind of thinking he's going to play Pleakley. It just hasn't been confirmed yet. But also another one is that has been confirmed is kind of stirring up a little controversy. So who will be playing Nani, who is Lilo's big sister? They announced that Signe Agudong will be playing her. And a lot of people aren't happy about this. And that's really because of... they're claiming it to be colorism. Nani in the movie is darker skin. She's, you know, full Polynesian. She has, you know, strong Hawaiian features with dark skin. But Sydney is actually biracial. She's not fully Polynesian. And because of that, she is lighter skin. She's more fair skin. So a lot of people are kind of calling that out as, you know, Disney... being colorist, I guess some people are saying, and almost kind of like whitewashing the character, which, you know, I hope it's not Disney casted her for that. I hope she was the best choice for playing Nani, because, you know, people do audition for roles and they don't just look at them based on the color of skin, I hope. I'm excited for this movie in general. Lilo and Stitch is one of my favorite movies, and I'm really curious to see how it goes out as a live action movie. I hope Sydney is the right choice for her acting abilities, but I guess we'll see next year when the movie comes out.
Yeah, I agree. We're going through such like a weird moment in time where things are kind of writing themselves. Like, we are getting the correct people in the correct roles,
mm-hmm.
but now we're getting, I feel, sometimes almost too picky.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's going to be rare that you're going to find somebody who's like 100% one race. So, yeah, I hope we start looking more so at, like, are they appropriate? Are they part of that race? And how do they just all in all do in that role, you know? Yeah.
And that's the thing too. I mean, I honestly can't speak for someone else because I don't experience this, but I know, you know, there have been people who are biracial and they struggle with self-identity. Like, you know, what community do I belong in? You know, if I'm half black and half white, like, am I considered, can I hang out with, like, you know, the African-American group at my school, or with the more Caucasian groups in schools, or just, you know, like, cause there is that self-identification or, you know, commonality that you have sometimes with friends, because, you know, you come in the same background, and if someone's from, you know, a full ethnicity, and then they kind of discount other people's experiences because they're not fully that culture, it's kind of sad and unfortunate. So Yeah.
We'll get through it.
We'll get through it. Well, hopefully we'll get through Little Mermaid live action. It's actually getting a record-breaking runtime, which is 2 hours and 15 minutes.
I know. I was surprised by that because the cartoon, I just watched it recently for Great Typhoons and Raging Fires, mm-hmm. where I guested on. It's only an hour and a half, the cartoon. Yeah. So, yeah, 45 extra minutes of content for the live action.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, we talked about this before, but I'm sure there's going to be more songs than in the animated film. And, yeah, I wonder if they're going to do some, like, maybe some background scenes of, like, other things, like how Ursula got to be Ursula. I don't know.
Yeah, when I think about it, like casting somebody like Melissa McCarthy as Ursula, and for how little she's in the cartoon, I would guess that's where a lot of the time's going to go, like giving her that backstory, because it was rumored they were going to make her Triton's sister, Ariel's aunt, so that would provide a lot of background. I did hear on Race Chasers with Alaskan Willem that a Prince Eric song has leaked, and also another, I believe it was Ariel song, so to give more dimension to those characters, so,
yeah,
I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, and when you mention Melissa McCarthy as Ursula, like, I don't think she's gonna play the human form. I mean, I'm assuming they're gonna have her do what she did in the movie where she turned into a human.
Vanessa.
So I don't think she's gonna play Vanessa to court Eric, so yeah,
because she at least resembled Ariel in the movie. She's like Ariel with darker hair.
So
I would guess they're gonna have Halle Berry maybe play that role, maybe looking a little different, like doing the hair slightly different or something like that, but yeah, you're right.
It's like, yeah, because I'm sure we want to see Melissa McCarthy too, you know, with a decent amount of airtime.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I'm still like a mix of excited and nervous because like Little Mermaid is my movie. I love Little Mermaid. It's like the first Disney movie I saw in theaters. It just had such an impact on me. So I'm excited to see it. I just don't want them to mess it up.
Yeah.
And so far, everything I've seen looks great. I'm on board, so we'll see how I feel.
Yeah, I'm really excited for the movie. Not as scared, but more so excited.
I'll probably have to see it twice before we talk about it, because sometimes when I see a movie that I have so much hype for, like, I have to get through what I expected and just see it for what it is the second time.
And in 40X.
And in 40X, oh, that would be so much fun.
I imagine a lot of bubbles.
A lot of bubbles. Cool. Well, that's everything we had in Disney. Shall we see what's going on in the galaxy?
Galaxy.
So we just got more news on Ahsoka.
Yay.
So it looks like Wes Chatham has joined the cast and crew of Ahsoka.
Okay.
And it is said that he will be playing, I have his name here actually, but he's going to be a right-hand man to Thrawn, who last week we announced is played by Lars Mikkelsen.
Mm-hmm.
So this is pretty cool. I think people are excited to see him. His name in the show is going to be Captain Enoch.
Okay.
So that name, a very biblical name, Enoch.
Yeah.
So this has just been announced. You can also see Chatham in both installments of The Hunger Games Mockingjay. He was also in The Expanse, and he was in Tenet.
So was Captain Enoch part of... Was it just a brand new character specific to Ahsoka, or was he in any other, like, shows?
I am going to be the first to admit I don't have the best memory when it comes to the shows. Okay. So I don't remember him. And it doesn't really say here that he's been in it before, so I don't think so.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So it looks like this is going to be pretty exciting. I'm really excited for this show to start. I think it's going to, especially bringing in Thrawn, I just have so many questions, because Thrawn is a very powerful, very cool villain. He is a huge tactician. Like, there's a whole comic that showed his beginnings and how the Emperor kind of like sought him out, and how Thrawn kind of, I don't know, tacticianized his way through the Empire into being one of the only like major ranks who was an alien. So he's pretty amazing. I think my biggest question right now is we don't really feel Thrawn's effects by the time we get to the sequel trilogy. So, like, does he die? Does it all get wrapped up in that 20 years? Does he get lost somewhere? Like, is he someone we'll see in the movies past the trilogy?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that.
And it from what I recall, and I don't want to jump ahead yet, but even he's part of Mandalorian, too. The Mandalorian, yeah. Sorry. So
yeah, he's coming into that.
Yeah, so he's kind of like the connection between Mandalorian and Ahsoka. Kind of.
Yeah. So, yeah, sorry, I was just reading here. It looks like he is an original character, it says here in the article.
Nice.
Yeah. Cool. All right, let's head over to our next thing, the Star Wars Visions trailer. We just watched it again for the second time.
Mm-hmm.
How did you like it?
I liked it. I love how this series just brings so much diversity in terms of the type of animation that they use. And obviously, they know how to open up a trailer because the first scenes were of a lightsaber fight, which I love my lightsaber fights and lightsabers in general. So that was really cool too. But I am super excited for this. And I really love the Chewbacca, like that kind of like animation where they have Chewbacca holding a knitted.
We know it's a Wookiee.
Chewbacca. Yeah, a Wookiee holding a stuffed animal.
Yeah, and I like it's in the style of like Walter and Gromit,
yeah,
which is just something very different that you wouldn't expect to see Star Wars in that light. So I like that. As it says in the trailer, we're getting animations from all over the world. So I like that that's what they pulled from, like, kind of the UK, because that is a very signature style for that.
Yeah, is it from the UK?
I believe so, Walter and Gromit.
I mean, but I thought you were talking about that specific, animation.
I assume it is, because Walter and Gromit is such a big thing in the UK, so mm-hmm. I assume that's what they probably submitted, but unless somebody else kind of mirrored that style.
Mm, gotcha. Yeah, I also like how it's just so, it varies in animation, where like you have some that are very serious, and it looks like there are some that are more just like fun. So I think it just reaches across to, you know, appeal to anybody.
Yeah, I agree. And I think this, in my opinion, looks a little more diverse in the first season in what we get just from the trailer. Because, yeah, we get the Walter and Gromit. We get one that looks almost like a living doll in a way, like an animated doll, which I really like that one. And, yeah, we get some that look a little more fun, some that look very dark. So yeah. this is huge.
They need to make a Star Wars horror movie.
Oh.
That would be fun.
Say that again after I say this. So Star Wars Visions comes out May 4th. May the 4th be with you. So we will start. We'll probably do what we did last time and put in order the ones that we like in order, which I know in season one, ours seemed to be opposite of everybody else. But, I mean, it's okay for people to have different opinions.
Yeah.
Okay, what was that thing you just said?
with all these genres out there, they should make some sort of, like, horror movie. Star Wars horror movie.
Oh my god, what a great transition. I know I don't always speak on comics for Marvel or Star Wars, but this one caught my eye because it has been announced at the Star Wars Celebration that we are getting a new comic called Star Wars Dark Droids.
Wow.
And this sounds so cool to me because it is a horror-themed Star Wars comic book. So we're almost there. I met you halfway. So this is said to come out of the events of War of the Bounty Hunters and Crimson Reign. I'm guessing also Hidden Empire. This will be spearheaded by Charles Soule, who will write the main limited series. So what that means is there's probably going to be spinoffs in each of the different franchises. And he's going to be spearheading it alongside artist Luke Ross. And this is going to be the next big event. This is going to pull together all the other titles like Darth Vader, Dr. Aphra, Bounty Hunters, and also the main Star Wars continuity. So what's fun about this is it's like evil droids.
Yeah.
And if you're not reading the Star Wars comics right now, what has kind of happened, and one thing that I read that this series will talk about, is Luke has lost his hand to Darth Vader. So this takes place, I should start there, between Empire and Return of the Jedi. Luke has lost his hand and his lightsaber. He's not able to get the blue lightsaber that Anakin used back. So he does find a yellow lightsaber at a Jedi temple that he's been using. So this kind of era will answer what happened to the yellow lightsaber and where did he get the green lightsaber, which we see him with at the beginning of Return of the Jedi. Because I believe the yellow lightsaber, that one he found, but I believe they're going to keep in continuity that he makes the green lightsaber, which is more fitting. Because Jedi's usually, that's part of their, like, going from Padawan to Jedi is there's a ceremony where you make your own lightsaber. So him using the yellow lightsaber is kind of like a cop-out. Like, he's being lazy. Luke, yeah. You're supposed to be a Jedi. You can't just use another lightsaber.
Yeah, Jake.
Wow. But I guess, like, I mean, he was using the blue lightsaber that was Anakin's too, so.
Well, yellow and blue make green.
Yeah, I know. Oh. I kind of like that. So yeah, I'm excited to read Dark Droids. I am currently reading through all the titles. I think it's amazing, like, the way they have been kind of threading through the story. They've kind of brought in Poe Dameron's parents, which I think is cool, so it's not as random, because Leia does say in the... I'm so breathless today, I don't know why. She does say in the sequel trilogy that she knew Poe's parents, so then you're kind of like, wait, when did that happen?
Yeah.
But now it's being answered slowly. Like, yeah, they were around, they just weren't featured in the movie, so it's just kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so look for Dark Droids coming out later this year.
Well, hopefully they do make it out of a movie, so I don't have to read the comics.
Wow! Yeah, I think some of the comics are so epic that I would love for them to recreate it as either live action, even a cartoon. I mean, the one that's been on every Star Wars fan's lips for a while has been Dr. Aphra, because she's an original character who developed from the comics. Mm-hmm. And she's, like, making a big splash in the Star Wars universe. She's kind of like the current Mara Jade, where if you're a Star Wars fan, you talk about Dr. Aphra, because she's, not only is she queer, but she's also like a Star Wars Indiana Jones. Like, she's a space archaeologist, and she started off by working for Darth Vader and kind of outsmarting Darth Vader himself.
Wow.
So yeah, she's pretty cool.
Nice.
Cool. Well, I guess I'll save her for a featured one day and I'll tell you more.
Yeah.
Until then, later today we're going to the parks and rec.
And we'll be rec. Yeah.
Stop.
I mean,
stop
it. No, this is a family podcast. I meant to say recreating.
Right, okay.
At the park.
Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec. Well, we're also meeting a few friends there as well, too.
Oh, I see what you did there.
And, yeah, the reason why I said meeting is because Disney, if you are a local in Anaheim, Disney actually holds informational meetings throughout the year to talk about their future projects. And the big one right now is the whole Disneyland Forward theme park. That is the planned or dreamed expansion of both Disneyland and California Adventure in Anaheim. And yeah, if you want to know more information, they actually have or had a kind of like a presentation or a gathering at Eucalyptus Park in Anaheim that happened on April 15th. So a couple of days before you're listening to this. They held that from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And which is cool too is that you can go, they even have like coffee for you if you want. So, you know, you just kind of talk to the Imagineers, which is nice. Coffee and donuts actually. But yeah, they have these events throughout the year. If you're interested, if you go on, I believe it's DisneylandForward.com, you can, find those dates. And I think the next one coming up is in May. So check that out. But I love that Disney's doing this and they're getting the community involved, because it's not like, you know, they just build it willy-nilly without, you know, people's knowledge. But I'm really excited for this. I do hope This happens. If you're not familiar, Disneyland Ford is a project that they're hoping to expand into right now what is like the downtown Disney area, basically building over Disney Way. And they've been talks of doing like an expansion for Toy Story Land, a Frozen Land, Tangle Land. So a lot of ideas. I really hope Disney moves forward with this and they get approval. But yeah, I just love, again, how they're involving the community for it.
I love you too.
Yay. Well, if you want something else to kind of love.
On a light cycler note.
Yeah. This is really interesting. I think it's a combination of a lot of things, but before I get into that, Disney at Tron Light Cycle Run at Disney's Magic Kingdom, it held a record for the longest time a virtual queue has stayed open. For 93 minutes.
Which is so creepy. Does that mean people just aren't signing up for it?
I don't know. Well, I feel like their preview period was so long. Like, they started, I think, around, like, early March with, like, cast member previews, annual pass member previews, and media previews that, like, I think a lot of people have already got their ride into Tron. Mm. So, like, by the time that it's, like, now open, people maybe aren't as, like, leaning to go because they already been on it, which is nice. And, yeah, this is for the 1 p.m. virtual queue, by the way. The early morning sounds like they do sell out pretty quick, but for their afternoon virtual queue, it has been open. So I think that's also good news for people as well, too, because if you, you know, travel to go to Disney World and you really want to go to this, don't give your hopes up if you don't get the early morning virtual queue. There is still, you know, you might get into the 1 p.m. virtual queue, which is nice. And you don't have to worry about paying for Genie Plus, which runs between $25 to $35 a day. I think this kind of echoes what our experience was for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, where, I mean, I don't want to, like, brag or, you know, say anything for people who haven't been on the ride yet, but we were able to get both the virtual queue in the morning as well as the lightning lane in the morning and the virtual queue in the afternoon, which we didn't really have too much trouble getting. And also, like, a month later, or maybe even less, they ended the virtual queue for that ride as well, too.
Yeah, and to be fair, we only did that because we couldn't get the first virtual queue because it went so quick. Yeah. So we got the lightning lane as, like, a freak out.
Yeah.
And then we ended up getting a virtual queue anyway later.
Yeah, because we also wanted our friend Jesse to ride with us as well, too. And we were able to get that for her as well. So yeah, I mean, you know, I'm hoping that in the future we're not having to always, like, wake up early in the morning to get a virtual queue in a line, or having to pay a lot of money just to ride one ride when we've paid a lot of money just to get into the park as well.
Yeah.
Well, this is the first time, I think, in a while, or it's very rare that we Disneyland West Coasters get something ahead of Disney World. And that's the Disney 100 celebration. Ours happened way back in January. But now Walt Disney Worlders are able to see their first glimpses of the Disney 100 celebration at their park.
I can't believe they don't have it yet. We've had it for so long.
Yeah,
you hear that, Floridians? We've had it for so long.
Well, a part of it, too, is because the Walt Disney World 50th anniversary was happening and it just ended. So now they're switching all of that out for the Disney 100 stuff. And the first one that is out is kind of a planter in front of the railroad station right as you enter Magic Kingdom. So if you're at the park, check that out.
Check it out.
But it doesn't look like you can interact with it with your magic band. So that is still something we can have first. Well, something that is not first anymore or only located in a park is, unfortunately, at Disneyland Paris, they are canceling their Halloween and New Year Eve parties this year.
Lame.
Yeah, so they're canceling their special event. So it's still going to be celebrated in the park. It's just not going to be like a separate ticketed event, which is actually, I think, better because you can just go. You don't have to spend extra money to do those special events, which is nice. I mean, I'm not really familiar with how these events go from previous years, but I am happy that, you know, park goers get to experience this without having to be upcharged for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, that is cool. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Because, yeah, that's what we do. I mean, Oogie Boogie, separate from Oogie Boogie, we have the New Year's thing, and that is included with your park admission in terms of their countdown event. So, yeah, I guess we kind of have that for New Year's anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, another thing that is being maybe not canceled but closed is Disney finally announced when the Splash Mountain at the Disneyland Resort is going to close, and it's announced for May 31st.
Yay!
That is, I believe, Memorial Day weekend. And, yeah, we finally have a date. They also release a bit more more details of the ride itself. They said that we will see Mama Odie in the ride,
mm-hmm.
and will be voiced by the original actress that voiced her. Forgot her name, but she will be there and to help out voicing. And yeah, I'm excited for this. We already got our park reservation, not for the 31st because that is a weekday and we have jobs. But
maybe
we are looking to go the weekend prior, which is the holiday weekend. So hopefully it's not going to be crazy, crazy. Well, it's probably going to be crazy, but hopefully we can get on the ride before it closes.
Oh, Jennifer Lewis.
Jennifer Lewis. Yes. Jennifer Lewis is Mama Odie. But yeah, if you are looking to get your last ride, make sure to do it before May 31st.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there is also a new photo op in Downtown Disney. This is for to celebrate National Geographic. And I thought this is really cool because it's not just like a... I mean, it is like a promo for Nat Geo, but they did it in a cool way where... So this month we have Earth Day coming up. And the way they kind of set up their photo op is they have these two mosaic-looking elephants. And what's nice is that they're actually made out of used flip-flops and it's hand-carved by an artist from Kenya. I guess there's just an influx of flip-flop waste out there. And this is just a cool and, like, you know, useful way to recycle them. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, make it pretty.
Make it pretty. And speaking of pretty,
Pride
Night, an official Pride Night is finally coming to Disneyland Resort at the Disneyland Park. They finally are celebrating officially, you know, gay days or just gay nights, I guess you can say, during Pride. And yeah, everyone's really excited. Disney released some pictures of what the costumes look like, and they look really colorful and fun for Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, Daisy, Donald, and Clarabel too. Clarabel's going to be part of the celebration. Yeah, and it's going to come for two nights this summer, for June. What are the dates? Sometime in June. Look it up. But tickets are coming up too as well for sale, I think, April 18th, this Tuesday. So if you're listening to this tomorrow. So very excited for this. Everyone's just... I think this is going to be an event that a lot of people are going to go to. And I just love it, too, because of the whole, like, DeSantis don't say gay stuff in Florida. It's just kind of like a clap back at all of that.
Yeah, and Alan and I will be trying to get tickets. He asked me and I haven't answered him yet. But yes, we will be trying to get tickets. But yeah, I did read an article today. The right is clapping back, saying this is in response to DeSantis pushing at Disney. I feel like yes and no. I feel like this has been something that's been a long time coming. I feel like Disney has been embracing gay days more so, even though it's not officially theirs that they started.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I've said this before on this show, but I remember gay days in the earlier days when it was like that naughty thing that like Disney wouldn't confirm nor deny. But now, in the past few years, they've started actually selling Gay Day merch. So yeah, they have embraced it. So I think this is a huge leap forward that, you know, there's going to be a fun rainbow-filled night dedicated to the LGBTQIA plus community. So
yeah,
I think it is a clap back in a way, but I also think it was like a natural melding of something that should have happened.
Yeah. Yeah, and the dates are June 13th and 15th, and it'll be from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Do you like how I, like, took the spotlight off of you so you could look that up to make you look good?
Thank you.
That was teamwork. So, yeah, I'm sure we'll be going. We usually have luck with tickets.
Yeah, I'm just happy that they're doing it, because, like, I feel like all the other nights don't feel as special. Like, they're just more, like, cool. Like, that sounds like fun, but I think this is going to be a very special night.
Yeah, we know someone who went to Star Wars night, and they said they felt like they were just at Disneyland.
Yeah.
Because Star Wars is already so themed there. And then same with, like, Princess Night. Like, that's cool, but it's already a pretty big theme there. So this is a little different.
Yeah. And another thing that is going to be different next year.
Next year?
Next year. So if you are a fan of Star Tours.
I am.
Like Sean. At the Star Wars Celebration in Europe, they announced more worlds coming to Star Tours next year. And they haven't said really like what the worlds are, but they did say there's going to be some that you might not have seen before. So that's really cool. But really excited because, yeah, I mean, we do write it pretty often that we kind of see a lot of the same things. So for someone, you know, like us, it's definitely a welcome news for these additions to happen. So very excited for this. A lot of stuff coming out next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very excited.
Very excited.
That means we had to renew. I mean, there's no doubt we were, but we definitely had to renew our annual pass. Magic Keys.
No Doubt broke up.
Wow. And that is it for Parks and Rec.
Cool. So at this point, we'll give you a new Margal Dizbiz question. We'll talk about our favorite moments. We'll do a cover Disney. And then we'll get into Mandalorian Episode 7.
So good.
Sound good?
So good.
No, sound good.
Both.
Okay. So this question, I was just curious, actually. Because my little X-Men stan mind is going now. Which X-Man would you want to see as a spider hero? And I say spider hero so you can kind of fill in the blanks if you'd want them to be like Ghost Spider, who's like the Gwen character. Or if you'd want them to be like Miles Morales, whoever you want. So my four options I'm going to give you are Wolverine, Dazzler, Emma Frost, or Cyclops. So in 2 weeks, we'll come back and say our pick, and we'll see who all of you picked.
I don't want to skew the vote, but I feel like with Wolverine, like I can imagine Wolverine when he shoots his spider webs, he accidentally cuts it with his claws as he's like flying through. Just a thought.
Yeah. And like I added some of these because they are like the main X-Men, but some of these I just curious, like if I put maybe some of the fan favorites like Dazzler, Emma Frost, we'll see how that works out. As opposed to, like, Jean Grey or Rogue.
You forgot Jubilee.
Who?
Wow.
I almost put her, but I was like, I like Dazzler more, and they're pretty similar, so we're going with Dazzler.
They're not similar.
Okay. So, what is your favorite moment this week?
This week? Oh, wow.
Do you want me to start?
Yeah, you can start.
So, I'll post a picture, but I am loving these Disney 100 Marvel/Disney comics that have been coming out. There's going to be a total of 12, and they're all, like, classic comics, but with a variant cover. So I have four of them. This is my favorite moment this week because I just bought three of them the other day. So, for example, there's, like, the classic Fantastic Four with the creature coming up out of the ground attacking the Fantastic Four. Only in this one, the creature is Pete, and he's holding Minnie, who's Invisible Woman. Goofy is Human Torch, Donald is Thing, and Mickey is Mr. Fantastic. So yeah, these are really fun. I think my favorite so far is the Infinity Gauntlet with Mickey as Doctor Strange, Minnie as Captain America, and so forth. But yeah, I'll post these. They seem like they're not selling that great, because whenever I go to our local comic store, the Comic Bug, they seem to have a big stack of them. But there's some pretty cool covers coming, so I'm excited to get the last 8 that come out throughout this year.
Nice.
Yeah.
I don't know if this was of this week, but when we last went to Disney, I tried this new item. It's called the Polystarch Puff Bread Pastry at Galaxy's Edge.
Rolls right off the tongue.
Yeah, well, it's actually directly from the movie. So when there's one scene where you see Rey putting like powder and water in a bowl, and then it magically appears to be like this bread thing. So that's kind of where it came from. But it was actually surprisingly good when we first got it. Sean was like, that looks really gross, because it has like this like green like cookie like crumbly thing on top. But it's real, like, if you ever had Beard Papas and they had like the cookie crumble top on top of it, it kind of resembles that, but it's not cream filled. It has like an almond paste inside, which is very yummy. So if you're a fan of like a croissant or puff pastry, I think you'll really like this. And it was really like surprisingly good. And yeah, I would say that's probably my favorite moment. When we go to the park later today, I might even get another one. You can mobile order it. You can mobile order it at the milk stand at Galaxy's Edge, so you don't even have to wait in line for it. But yeah, definitely recommend it if you make your way out to the parks.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. So this Cover Disney, I apologize in advance. It's so annoying, but it's so funny to me. So you can actually find these on YouTube. There's different songs as sung by Toad from Super Mario Brothers. So this is Toad's rendition of Into the Unknown.
Oh, brace yourselves, guys.
Brace yourselves. My favorite one is when Toad does chandeliers. Here's a listen. Did you enjoy that, Alan?
Wait, let me take off my earplugs real quick.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Wait, if you had earplugs, how did you ask me? How did you hear me?
You were doing it? Sign language.
Oh, ASL.
Yeah.
Oh, like an Ant-Man.
Full circle.
Full circle. All right, cool. So,
like, let's... how I avoided your question.
What? All right, let's jump over to Mandalorian. One thing that I read after we reviewed last week's episode, this is kind of a fun little fact. In episode 6, the Mon Calamari, who's kind of in love with, I believe it was an Aqualish, he was actually played by Harry Holland. If that name sounds familiar, he is one of Tom Holland's many brothers. I believe there's 4 Holland brothers in total.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, that was kind of cool. Harry Holland was in Star Wars.
Nice.
Yeah. So this latest episode is The Spies. So, I mean... not only us, because you already said that it was one of your favorite episodes, but the internet is abuzz with just how good this episode was.
Yeah.
Some people felt like season 3 of Mandalorian was kind of not landing on its story or finding its stride, like kind of going in random directions. But then this one kind of brought it all together, because we find out that Moff Gideon is alive and he's been kind of like controlling everything that's been going on in the season from the shadows.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the shadows, you say? That's because he's on the Shadow Council. So this is called The Spies. What I really liked about the Shadow Council, I didn't even catch this, but... one of the people on the Shadow Council is Brendan Hux. Oh. You think the name Hux is familiar? That's because he's the dad of Armitage Hux, which is General Hux in the sequel trilogy.
Okay.
So this leads a huge hint, because we kind of talked about this on the show. They mentioned Project Necromancer, and right away I was like, oh, they're trying to bring back the Empire, so that means, or the Emperor, so that means the theories might be true that we are going to get Snoke. So the fact that Gideon is working towards rebuilding the Empire, they want to bring someone back to life, and Hux is involved when his son is involved with Snoke. It looks like we have a pretty clear-cut path of what we're going to see from The Mandalorian. Yeah. How do you feel about that?
I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is so cool because a lot of people feel that Snoke wasn't well explained, or they feel like the Emperor being cloned and coming back was random. So it's cool that, you know, with Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni being Star Wars fans, they recognize where we want more information, and they're slowly filling that in for us. Another big thing that we loved, we were dying, is when Grogu gets the IG-11 kind of mech, because he's been hollowed out, and now Grogu can control him, and he has the yes and no buttons.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Yes. No, 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 no. No. It was so funny. I love Grogu so much. And I think for me, the biggest thing is we get Thrawn finally mentioned on The Mandalorian. I don't think he's been mentioned yet.
No.
We heard about him in the Book of Boba Fett, right? That's where Ahsoka showed up?
Mm-hmm.
Or was that? No, that was Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
It all blends together.
Yes.
So, but the Shadow Council mentions that Thrawn is taking too long. Moff Gideon says he wants to move ahead without Thrawn. So this gives us a hint as to where's Thrawn.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. So apparently he's probably going to arrive, I'm guessing, by the end of next episode. And then that will be kind of the tie-in to him being there in Ahsoka.
Yeah. I know. I can't believe we're already in the finale next week.
I know, and it's been hinted that, like, it's going to be sad.
Oh, so no.
I wonder if people are thinking maybe the death of Din Djarin.
Oh, no.
I know.
Yeah, because he got captured.
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah, there was also another death in this one.
Yeah.
I don't know his name, but it's the big, deep-voiced machine gun guy.
Yeah, I think he kind of won a lot of us over, including me, because he was kind of gruff. But then there's that epic battle against the, I think they're called Shadow Troopers. They're basically like Mandalorians, Stormtroopers, which is funny because Boba Fett was originally designed as a Stormtrooper in a white outfit. So we come full circle here. But he sacrifices himself in a really epic battle. Like, he went for it in order to buy time for the other Mandalorians to escape.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was sad.
That was very sad. And, yeah, Moff Gideon, he just, I feel like we haven't seen his like capabilities until recently, you know. Like, he seems very bad butt, like someone you really don't want to mess with. So I'm happy that we got to see that too.
Yeah, and it was cool that we got to see the Praetorian Guards, which is the Red Guards.
Oh, yeah.
Who were very equipped to fight a Mandalorian. So we're seeing just how capable Gideon is, because he has these suits that are just as good as the Mandalorian suits. Now he has a guard that can easily kill a Mandalorian. So he is a force to be reckoned with.
Yes.
We also have Gideon announce his kind of plan. He wants to build a clone army using Jedi blood, which is why he's after Grogu, because Grogu is a Jedi.
Yeah.
Or has a connection to the Force, I should say. He's not a Jedi yet. You're not a Jedi yet. So yeah, this set up so much. It's bringing things together. We finally kind of got a tie back to Dr. Pershing and what happened to him. I was hoping we'd get kind of an answer as to did he die or what happened to him, but it's all coming together.
I just wish they made Lizzo a Jedi.
That'd be amazing. And then they could have Jack Black sing a song about it.
Lizzo, 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 Lizzo.
So yeah, next week is the finale, episode 8. This is, I can't believe it's been 7 weeks of Mandalorian already.
I know, time flies.
When you're dead. Hocus pocus. All right, well, thank you for listening. We will be back in 2 weeks with more content for you. If you get a chance, send us a message this Saturday the 22nd to let me know that you're thinking of me on my birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Happy 25th plus 14 birthday.
How dare you give my age. So if you do get bored in the meantime, where can people find more of our beautiful voices?
We can find our voices at Once Upon a Cult, where we talk about a different cult every other week.
Yeah, and you can find me on Solving for X, where Kevin and I are powering through season 4 of the X-Men animated series. Or you can find me on Words of the Witches, where actually this week we are talking about the Charmed book, Gorgons Will Be Gorgons, that takes place in between season 9 and 10 of the Charmed comic books. Yes, that is how deep we are into Charmed. We are reading the books between the comic books that take place after the show ended.
So deep.
Wow. Cool. And you can find my book, Witches Brew, A Dream of Waking, on Amazon. There's links in my Instagram. I do need more reviews in order. Oh, no, I set her off.
Amazon, stop.
Amazon, stop. I do need more reviews if my book is going to get to a spot where it can be featured in Amazon bookstores. So take a read, give me a review. It'd be greatly appreciated. And we will see you in 2 weeks. Thank you for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.